Carlo sure. Broussard. Yeah, the Cajun apologist joins us this morning. And first of all, how you doing, Carlo?
I'm doing all right, brother. It's good to be on with you guys, as always.
It's early 30 where you are out there on the West Coast.
Indeed, it is.
Well, I want to jump right into your book. You've been, we had to take a couple of weeks off, but your book, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. We're on chapter 7, so where do you take us now?
Yeah, so in chapter 7, I deal with, or I begin to deal with in the book, the problem of evil. Now, the problem of evil is a vast problem, right? Mm-hmm. There are various different aspects. But it's important to point out at the beginning that there are two just broad versions, the intellectual problem and the emotional problem. And I deal with both in the book. The emotional problem deals with, you know, somebody who's frustrated with God and just wants the pain to go away and just trying to find purpose and meaning in the suffering. And so it's not necessarily an intellectual puzzle for them of how to reconcile an all-good God and evil. Yeah. Whereas it is for some, and that's the intellectual problem. And that is, you know, how can an all-good God exist and evil exist at the same time? They seem to be logically contradictory, right? So if God exists, then evil can't exist. But since evil does exist, well, then I guess God doesn't exist, type of thing. And there are various aspects of this intellectual problem of evil. And that's some of these aspects I'd like to talk about today, and then maybe next week when we continue going through the book. So, for example, for some atheists, the problem is, well, listen, if God's the creator of all things, and evil exists, but then God must be the creator of evil. Mm. Well, then how can God be all good if he creates evil, right?
Right.
And this, this problem can be solved if you understand or have a proper understanding of evil. You see, evil is not some existing thing that God creates and sustains in existence like you and me. Evil is actually a privation or a lack of a do-good, a lack of being that ought to be there. So, for example, what is it about blindness that makes it bad? Well, the eye lacks the sight that it ought to have, given the kind of thing it is, right?
Okay.
Or a sock with a hole in it, right? That's a bad sock. Why? Because it's missing the fabric that needs to be there, given the kind of thing that it is.
It's holy.
It's holy. So evil is this sort of privation of a good that should be there, a privation of being. Now, once you understand, and I spell this out clearly in the book, once you understand that nature of evil as a privation of being, well, then you come to see that God, evil is not some existing thing that God creates and sustains in existence. This is not to say evil is an illusion. No, the eye really lacks the sight. The sock really lacks the fabric, right?
Yeah.
But it is to say that it's not some existing thing that God creates and sustains in existence. So just because God is the creator of all things and evil exists, it doesn't follow that God creates evil in that sense. Now, this brings up the next question. Okay, well, if God doesn't create evil as some existing thing, well then, whence does evil come, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are two types of evils that we can talk about. We can talk about moral evil, like sin, or physical evil, like defects in nature and suffering that comes about for living things. So moral evil, that's pretty easy. The source of moral evil comes entirely from the moral agent, a person, a rational being, that chooses to use free will contrary to the good, choosing bad rather than good, right? So, and God is in no way responsible for the defect in moral evil, like a human action ought to be ordered toward what is good for the human being.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the human act is not ordered toward what is good for us, right? Well, that's not God's fault. God's not responsible for that. We're the sole responsible agent for that defect. The only role that God has for moral evil is sustaining the human being in existence and actually being the reason why the human being can act in the first place. But the defect is entirely due to the human being who's abusing free will, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Now, physical evil is a little bit different. For physical evil, like blindness, right, or death among living beings, that simply is part and parcel of a material world. So inasmuch as you're going to have a material world and material things, right, material living things even, you're going to have corruption. And whenever you have corruption, it's always due to the goodness of something else. So the goodness of one thing curtails the goodness of another. The animal suffers death in a forest fire because the fire is succeeding in doing what it does, burning.
Yes.
The gazelle is eaten due to the flourishing activity of the lion, right?
Mm-hmm.
The goodness of the lion curtails the goodness of something else. This is part and parcel of a material world. So in as much as you're going to have a material world, you're going to have these sorts of physical defects, of course, barring some sort of miracle from God. But if God were to perform a perpetual miracle and keep material things from corrupting, well, then you wouldn't have science. You wouldn't be able to come to know the laws of nature and regularity, et cetera.
That's
and I spell all of that out in my book. But God is not bound to create any particular world in the first place. He can create any kind of world he wants.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the bottom line. God will not permit evil in the world, whether it's moral or even physical evil, unless he orders it to some greater good. And given that God is infinite in power, there's no greater good that he cannot bring about that will outweigh the permitted evil, whether moral or physical. And just because God has the power to vanquish that evil and to get rid of it all, and that he doesn't, it doesn't count against his goodness. So, for example, when my wife, when my kids get a bobo, and my wife is cleaning that bobo, right, and there's blood all over the place, and I'm just kind of peeking over the shoulder and watching from the doorway in the bathroom, right?
Yes.
I have the, my wife is inflicting physical pain upon my children by cleaning that wound out.
True.
And I have the power to stop her from inflicting that physical suffering, that physical evil, right?
Mm-hmm.
But does that necessarily count against my goodness as a father? No, it doesn't. And the reason is because I'm aware of a greater good that permitting this suffering, this inflicting of suffering, is going to bring about.
Yeah.
So just because I have the power to stop the evil and I don't, it doesn't necessarily count against my goodness.
Okay.
So too, even though God has the power in his infinite power to stop all evil, and he doesn't, it doesn't follow that he's not all good. For it is consistent that he is all good and that evil exists because he can bring about a greater good.
And
we'll talk more about that next week.
Great, great place to stop right there, Carlo. Carlo Broussard, Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. Where can we get the book?
Shop.catholic.com.
Thank you. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you, my friends. Take care.